This is Channel 253. Channel 253 is sponsored by Alaska Airlines. I'm Nate Bowling and I fly Alaska. To book your next trip, go to alaskaair.com. This is the Nerd Farmer Podcast, a national conversation through a local lens. Marhaban, marhaban. This is Nate Bowling, host of the Nerd Farmer Podcast, coming to you live with that Arabic smoke. You heard that? Anyway, coming to you live from an undisclosed location somewhere on the American Community School campus here in gorgeous, warm, sunny Abu Dhabi here in the United Arab Emirates. This is our first episode of the show recording abroad, and I've brought in an expert interviewer, Hope Teague, host of the Interchangeable White Ladies, and also my spouse, to kind of help me walk through what's going on here and where we're going with the show. So, hello, dear. How are you?
Hi. Welcome to the Interchangeable... Oh, whoops. My bad. Wrong show.
Really? You used to start like that? Like, anyway, go ahead.
I'm super excited to be here and be on this side of the mic with you.
Oh, man.
Are you ready?
I'm ready, dear. Go ahead.
Okay. So, I'm going to go ahead and start with a question that I think everybody actually really wants to know. What's it like being black in Abu Dhabi?
We're just starting with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Get in.
I think anybody who's listened to this show for a while knows that I have some pretty strong feelings about race in America and like where race relations are going. I think it's worth like noting for context that my father, who's no longer with us, was old when I was born, frankly. He was born in Laurel, Mississippi in 1930, and my mother was born in El Dorado, Arkansas in 1940. And a lot of things that they talked about in their childhood that I didn't experience in my childhood, I'm seeing happen today. And being black in Abu Dhabi low-key is great. Like, at no time... So obviously, I'm aware that I have a level of privilege being here as a teacher. And, like, I'm not a Ugandan cab driver or whatever. But at the same time, what I can say is that, like, at no point in our time here, and today's our 50th day, have I been treated differently, I feel, than you have been. And so, like, I feel like at any given moment, I'm being treated like an American citizen and a teacher, and not like whatever it means to be treated black. And I'll say that, like, at our school, there's more black people working at our school than there was at Lincoln High School. It's interesting, like, there's a not small population of black Americans who have immigrated to the Gulf and seem to be thriving. And so, the person who was my kid's counselor, my student's counselor, is a black male from Baltimore. Another counselor in the building is a black female from, I believe, Chicago. And so, like, yeah, being black in the Gulf is kind of dope. Like, there's some trade-offs, obviously, but I'm really enjoying it.
All right, so let's talk about some of the things that have surprised you. You sound a little bit surprised about that. I don't know what you expected when you got here, but what are some things that you were thinking beforehand and you got to Abu Dhabi and you realized, oh, this is not what I expected?
I would just say that, like, everything that I had back home or we have access to back home is also here, but in a different form. And so the country of UAE is really fascinating. Like, one way to think about it is that this country basically was founded in the mid-1970s, and its George Washington equivalent figure passed away during the Bush administration. And so this is very much a young country, and it's fairly remarkable like where it is given how young it is. One thing I'll say that I really have appreciated is how international it feels here. Like, there are, and like, so it's funny because people's roles are like, jobs kind of match nationalities. So we've had a lot of Ugandan cab drivers. We've had a lot of like Filipino people working in hospitality services. A lot of South Asian people are doing like work around like facilities and stuff like that. And then like the teachers were all like Americans and Canadians and one Kiwi we'll hear later on. But I've surprised. I don't think anything's really surprised me. I didn't think I was going to move here and not enjoy it, but I'm actually surprised how much I am enjoying it.
It's probably that balcony view that you have, I think, that you posted about on the socials.
It is. So we have a great apartment. We're on the 39th floor, and like you can look out and you can see the beach to the left and the city to the right, and it's a metropolis. Like, one way to think about Abu Dhabi is that like it's basically the size of Manhattan, like a standalone borough without like Brooklyn and Queens nearby.
What? You don't live on a compound?
No, and that's the thing. Like, a lot of folks just have no like sense about what life is like in the Gulf. No, I don't live on a compound. I live in the heart of a city. Like, there's restaurants within walking distance, grocery stores walking distance. Like, if you're one of those urban planner types who's always talking about walkable neighborhoods, like, we live in a walkable neighborhood. We walk to school every day. This is the kind of life that I enjoy living so far. Like, we don't have a car, and we'll probably buy a car for like weekend trips, but as far as like going back and forth to work, we can walk to the market. It's ideal.
So besides trying camel milk, what do you think has been one of the most like adventurous things that you've done or tried, or is like a fun quote unquote touristy thing that you've done?
So I want to be really clear here, by the way, that camel milk is gross. We actually haven't done a bunch of touristy stuff. Like, I feel like when we got here, it was basically to acculturate ourselves into our living environment and like get ready for home and get ready for work and get ready for like school and stuff like that. And so like the first trip we made was to IKEA, and the second trip was a place called Home Center to buy furniture. That said, we visited the palace, and like the palace is absolutely beautiful, but we haven't done a lot of like the tourist stuff.
But you've definitely eaten some good food. So
oh, for sure.
What are some highlight meals?
Listen. Like, if you are listening to this episode and you are like here in UAE and you're in Abu Dhabi, like get your behind online on Zomato, which is our delivery app, and order Nihal. Like, the Indian food here is amazing. I fell in love. Like, I love you, but like biryani is my side chick. Like, that stuff is so, so good.
If I had a shame bell right now, I might ring it.
Well, I'm glad you don't have one, because those things pierce my ears.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess the other big burning question I think people have is, what's going to happen with the show? I mean, obviously, you're recording today, but is this ongoing?
Yeah, so it's my intention to keep the show going. I'll say this. My favorite interviews have been with professors, because, like, they have just that contextual background and talk about things with depth. And it's my intention to continue doing that. I've worked on establishing relationships at NYU Abu Dhabi. They have a campus here. And so I'll be having professors on. And also, via the magic of VOIP and Doug's help, I'm going to do some remote interviews with some folks. We're working on some issues technically. But like, yeah, it's my full intention to keep the show going and keep having conversations. Tacoma's always been my heart, and I'll always bring conversations back to Tacoma. But today and for a while, the Near Farmers Abroad.
Well, thanks for sharing all that information. I'm really excited to hear your guests today. They're pretty awesome.
Yeah. And so when we come back from a break, what we're going to have is three teachers who are here with us at ACS, the American Community School, and they're going to tell their stories, and you're going to hear some really hilarious stuff and some really thoughtful stuff. I'm particularly touched by Jonathan and his decision to leave Venezuela and come and go teach abroad. I think it's a decision that, like, so if the worst case scenario for American politics happens, which I don't think is likely, but is a non-zero probability, it's a decision that many American teachers of color will face one day, possibly. So that's dark, but...
Yeah, on that note, let's hear from your guests.
Yeah, we'll be back.
Hi, this is Evelyn Lopez, host of the Channel 253 sister podcast, Crossing Division. Let me tell you, growing up in Southern California, I thought that people in Washington just didn't know what a real earthquake was. I didn't think anything about them. Until February 28th, 2001, the Nisqually earthquake. I was on the seventh floor of a government building right across the street from Capitol Campus in Olympia. And the quake hit hard. Let me tell you, that building, I was convinced it was coming down. It was the worst earthquake I have ever been in. I got under a conference table with my coworkers, and when the quake was over, I evacuated the building with them, looking around at cracks in the walls and stuff everywhere. I did fine, but let me tell you, one of my coworkers, another attorney in my office, Jeff, he was trapped in his office for hours because when we left, we didn't know who was gone and who was there. So he was trapped, and two people had to come back in with a crowbar and open up his door. The building had shifted and closed him in. It was really, really scary. No one was injured, but ever since then, I take earthquake drills really seriously. Really seriously. And that's why I'll be participating in the Great Washington Shakeout, scheduled for October 17th at 10:17 a.m. in the morning. That's right, 10:17 at 10:17 a.m. Everyone in the state is encouraged to take a minute to drop, cover, and hold on, just like you would in a real earthquake. Look, we all need to build muscle memory. It's good practice to make sure you don't run out the door and get hit by falling debris in the next big earthquake. So do it for real with the Great Washington Shakeout. Get down on the floor and hold on. Then do one more thing. Work on that emergency kit. Talk to your family about your plans. Find out what your work or school will do after an earthquake. Again, that's scheduled for 10:17 a.m. on October 17th. You got that, 10:17 on 10:17. It's easy to remember. You can learn more at shakeout.org/Washington. Use hashtag Shakeout on social media to post Shakeout selfies afterwards. Thanks to the Great Washington Shakeout for sponsoring this episode of Channel 253.
And we are back. Farm fam, thanks for tuning in today. I am sitting here with three of my coworkers about to kind of break down our life here in Abu Dhabi. As you know, Hope and I departed on August 13th and have been here for, today's actually our 50th day apparently. We did a little celebration. And so I want to welcome to the show my guests. We'll go from my right to my left. Well, Lisa, we'll start with you, please.
Hi, I'm Lisa Pedersen and I am a Kiwi.
Hi, I'm Jordan Moog and I am from Sumner, Washington in the Pacific Northwest.
Hi, this is Jonathan Diaz, originally from Venezuela, and I'm so excited to be here.
So I want to just get you all kind of going in this conversation, because what I'm trying to do is give my audience like a taste of like what's happening in my life and like where the show's headed from here, because it's going to be different than it was before. For each one of you, like, where are you from and how did you end up here with me in Abu Dhabi? Like, how is this our destination? Jonathan, why don't you go first?
So as I said before, I'm coming from Venezuela. It's a country in South America that is right now going through difficult times.
Understatement.
Yeah. So in 2014, we thought this was a good opportunity to leave the country and look for other opportunities. So back then, we went to Malta and we were working in an international school. So we kind of loved the idea of moving around schools. Then this great opportunity came up and we always wanted to come to the Middle East. So definitely we applied to the school and we got the job.
And Jordan, it's weird because like you're, so listeners, if you're local in Tacoma, Jordan is actually like Pierce County royalty. So Jordan, tell your story, please.
Well, I am a Westering. So my grandfather grew up actually over in the middle of the country and moved to Parkland, Washington when he was young and was a football coach at Pacific Lutheran University for over 40 years, actually, and is actually the ninth winningest football coach in NCAA history. And I grew up in Parkland, Washington until I was about 13 and then moved to the wonderful city of Puyallup, about 15 minutes
away. Puyallup.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed Parkland a little better, but all that to say is grew up there, lived there, went to PLU, played basketball and majored in history, and fell in love with teaching. I've taught at Sumner High School the last 7 years in Tacoma. So if you are local, you, or I guess it's in Sumner, but close to Tacoma. And my husband and I were searching for something new and something exciting. And we love travel. We love learning new things. We love kind of bringing in and learning new cultures. And so this kind of met all of those in one. And we were looking actually in Europe and in Asia, and the Middle East wasn't really on the radar at first, but we found ACS kind of by luck, and the rest is history. We are here.
Lisa, how about you?
Yeah, so I am from a place called Christchurch in New Zealand, so, you know, relatively far away. I'd been teaching for a number of years, about 8 years in New Zealand, and a number of my friends and co-workers had done international teaching overseas and been like, hey, Les, you got to do this. This is awesome. It's an amazing opportunity. And so finally I was able to twist my husband's arm enough so that we could apply. And we were lucky enough that 6 years ago, we put our CVs on search and ACS Abu Dhabi contacted us and had a couple of interviews. And this is our first experience that we've had for international teaching, and it's been magic. And we came here in 2014 and we're still here and loving it.
Awesome. And so Jonathan and Jordan, we're all new. Like, we arrived this summer, but you've been here for 6 years.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about how we all enjoy it, like how we find, I was like, how do you find Abu Dhabi? Like, how you enjoy it? But I actually want to start with you. How has the city changed in 6 years?
The city has changed in 6 years in a variety of different ways. So it's become a lot more relaxed. in regards to some of the rules and regulations and expectations that were 6 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, are a lot more relaxed. It's obviously still a conservative place, and you make choices about what you wear and how you act, and those choices will set you in good stead. There were still people that maybe make other choices, but in regards to Abu Dhabi, it's a super easy place to live. It is obviously very hot, but there's opportunities for you in whatever endeavor you want to do. It might not look the same as what it looked back home. It might not be at the same level, but you're going to find people that are into what you're into, or you're going to find activities that you can be a part of, or you're going to find a variety of different food options that you like to eat. So living in Abu Dhabi is relatively easy. And one of the things for me is that I have two young kids now. So being a mum of two young kids and the support that we can have here is unbelievable. So lots of changes, but also some amazing things in regards to the setup of Abu Dhabi and how it works for my husband and I.
Jordan, you're a 6 foot tall, blonde American woman. how do you find yourself navigating here in UAE?
You know, it's a lot easier than I expected. I have found that it's extremely safe, extremely kind. Just the whole city, everyone I've met is willing to go the extra mile for you, whether that's help you out of a taxi or help you find a place to eat. I felt no worries being, I would say, young white American female over here. In fact, I actually feel safer easily in this city than I did back home. And yeah.
Shots of summer right there. Shots of summer.
No, not summer.
Summer's not
summer. I love you, summer.
Jonathan, how about you?
Oh, we love it. We are really enjoying being spoiled, I would say. You know, I've never been in a place where everybody's there for you to serve you and help you, and that's fabulous. It's very modern. It is hot, but I mean, it's so beautiful around, so we're just waiting for that weather to change to go and explore. Food, oh, fantastic. Every weekend is a new place to explore and eat something new. So yeah, absolutely. It's a great place.
What do folks back home ask you all? Because I feel like I spend a lot of time explaining to folks, no, I don't live in Dubai. No, I'm not in Saudi Arabia. I'm in Abu Dhabi. It's a country called United Arab Emirates. Like, it's near Iran. I'm not in Iran. Like, there's a lot of, like, I feel like a lot of people aren't super informed about the Middle East and the geography. Like, what do folks ask you back home?
So for me, most people go, so like Dubai, and I'm like, yeah, close enough in regards to like where it is in the world. And a few people fly through Dubai, so they kind of have an idea about that. And so in regards to transits for them, that puts it on the map for them. So when people say, where you live, I'm like, Abu Dhabi. They say Dubai, I'm like, yeah, it's close. It's like an hour down the road. I know when we first said to our family we were moving to the Middle East, like, people were totally confused. All right, so my friends knew where it was in the world, but my family had to, we had to get out the map and have a look at it and see where it was. But we have been really lucky that I've had my parents come over and some of my friends have come over. So they've actually been here to experience it. And the beauty of Facebook is people can see what we're doing and where we are, so they can see what it is like and the lifestyle that we're living.
Jordan, how about you? What do you say to folks back home?
Well, it's amazing. Let me just start with that. But I think the biggest question I get is, are you safe? Which the answer is yes, in all caps. And I think a lot of questions about what the school is like compared to my education experience back home. And honestly, I came from a really, what I would call, great school back home that was very organized and had a lot of great leadership. But I feel like teachers are treated here better. I mean, we are valued more in a lot of ways. And that's the question I get a lot, is what's education like? And I really, really enjoyed being here, even though I would say I have a very close-knit family at home that I miss. But it's amazing how welcoming everyone is here and how much they make you feel like family as well.
It's interesting to me because a lot of folks, I think, believe that I'm working at some hoity, like, Hogwarts school. And so, like, it's not. And Jordan, I think you're uniquely positioned to talk about this. Like, how does where we're working compare to, like, back home? Because, like, to me, it's like a very high-functioning version of, like, Foss High School, basically.
Yeah.
Where, like, they're trying to jam the American experience in, but with a small high school population.
Yeah, I think really, when you look at just even the physical space that we work in, it's very similar to an American school. I think a lot of people have asked, like, oh, do you work in the high rise or do you, you know, and it's no, it's very normal school looking in that regard. The students are normal. It's much smaller than the school that I'm used to be working at. But other than that, the students are very involved. The neat thing is I felt more community here than I've ever felt within a school and in a community or in a city, if you will. I think I also came from a really cool community, being throwing Sumner back in there. I love you. But I will say that here it's super unique. You walk to school with your students, you arrive with your students, you see them at the grocery store, you see them at the pool sometimes. And but it's sometimes that can be a negative, but it's actually a really cool thing, I find.
Jonathan, same question to you. So like when you talk to family, like how do you explain where you are?
So I think the question is kind of linked to security. And one fun question is, is it true that police cars are Ferraris and Lamborghinis? So the stereotype. You know? And I reply back and say, like, listen, I haven't seen a police car in, you know, a month and a half, right?
Yeah.
It's so safe that it's like, where are they? I've seen a couple of Ferraris around and Lamborghinis, but it's not like that. So definitely, yes, you feel really safe here. It's great being able to, you know, walk out on the street without being afraid of anything. So knock on wood.
I think it might be useful for the audience to kind of hear what we all teach. And so can you talk about what you teach and like what your expertise is in that? And Jordan, I think, again, you should start because like what you teach is so familiar to the audience.
Yeah, I teach U.S. history, but it's got a unique slant. It's U.S. history in a global context. So the discussions that we have in that course are really neat. And I know that you've probably shared this on your blog, but the unique cultures and backgrounds of the students that we have in these courses make it so incredibly valuable in the discussions.
Talk more about that because it's really fascinating. You're right.
We have, oh gosh, I don't even know. I would say in my 22 kid class, which is an incredible class size, by the way, I have, you know, a diversity that is probably up to 15 different nationalities that are in that class at a time. And so the value of experience that they bring to discussion, and they've also traveled the world. And so it's really neat to talk about current events, to relate to historical things, and to just really have great quality discussion.
Yeah.
I also teach Globals, which is with Nate, and it's a really neat opportunity to teach young kids. My first time teaching freshmen, which has been fun.
No, ninth graders are dope. Everybody like, oh,
they are.
Freshmen, like ninth graders are, they're the move.
There.
Jonathan, your position is weird. Like, what do you do?
Well, my background is in education is world languages. And this is the first time I'm not teaching, you know, either Spanish or French or any of that. My position now is...
Wait, you speak French too?
Un peu.
Oh my God.
That's a flex. That's a flex. That's a flex. All right. I'll allow it.
So my position right now is the coordinator of the International Baccalaureate Diploma Program. And it is a little bit of admin work, but it's also making sure students are supported in the 2 years, the teachers, and, you know, the school fulfills all the requirements of the International Baccalaureate Organization. I'm also teaching Theory of Knowledge, which is a very interesting philosophical type of course. And just like you said, having students from different cultural backgrounds and nationalities is amazing because you can see all the different perspectives they have about things we talk about in the classroom, you know, religion, the arts, history. So it is fascinating.
And then Lisa, you?
Yeah, so I'm a learning leader for physical education and health, and the subjects that I teach, I help teach the grade 10 physical education and health program. So we obviously look at a few different health modules with the concept of looking at decision making and the ability to make health enhancing decisions through your typical health modules. We look at a pretty awesome grade 10 physical education program where we have a variety of choices that the students can choose, and based on that choice, which teacher will teach it and what that looks like. And so that's new this year in regards to the choice factor, so the kids are excited about that. And the other course that I teach is fitness theory and training, and so looking at students being able to understand a little bit about the body, how they construct training programs, and then constructing training programs that are specific for the goals that they set themselves. So that, in a nutshell, is kind of what I do.
Wow. I wonder, so when I think about my audience is very teacher heavy, And I wonder if you all could each talk about what drew you to go abroad, because going abroad and living, like I often say to students in class, like mainly in jest, like I didn't fly across the planet and leave my 79-year-old mother behind to watch You Be Mediocre, like fix this, right? And so like what drew you all, you talked about Venezuela obviously, so a little bit of that, but for you two, what drew you to go abroad?
I think as I spoke to before is that I've had a number of friends that have been teaching abroad, and they were just totally speaking incredibly highly of it and saying, hey, it's an awesome opportunity. The ability to travel is amazing. The kids that you teach are so diverse, and you can have some magical experiences in the classroom, and just the opportunities to meet such a variety of people as teachers as well. And to also, you know, improve the cash that you can get, the factors that my friends were telling me, all right? And so we, you know, checked it out and thought, hey, let's give this a go. And like I said, it's been an amazing experience here, better than what we ever could have anticipated. Our kids are amazing. You can try anything and they will be open to trying new ideas. They're super receptive and they're keen to be involved. Like it looks so different to a public school back home in regards to kids want to be active. They want to try new things. They're super engaging and inclusive of one another. It's a supportive, engaging environment. Like it's such a cool part of education to be part of in the school.
And then Jordan, how about you? Because again, you were like ASB advisor, basketball coach at Sumner. I feel in many ways you and I are similar, that we are well entrenched in our community.
Mm-hmm. When I first told people that we were looking to leave Sumner and do something like this, I got a lot of like, are you crazy? Mm-hmm. This is your community, you know? But for us, we still love that community back home. But my husband and I love traveling. We've really tried over the summers with teaching and our schedules to go abroad as much as we can. And we have a really strong desire for that. And then we had great friends that taught in a school in Malaysia. And they basically just sat down with us and were like, this is what you need to do. And we were like, okay. So we kind of just jumped. I would say that we really did jump with like one eye closed. We weren't totally sure what we were looking for. But we also were really up for adventure and wanted to do something together, being young married couples without kids, and experience the world. And we're in the center of the world here, and we're 4 hours away from three different continents. Like, how cool is that, you know, by flight? So I think for us, it's like so magical to be able to not only experience everything that was said earlier, just about the value of the teaching here and the schools here, but also to experience the travel piece.
Did you practice that line about 4 hours from three continents?
No.
That's a good line.
Thank you.
I'm going to steal that, I think, in a blog post. We end the show with a thing we call the wind down. And so the wind down are recommendations for the audience. I'm going to ask you to give us one thing to watch, one thing to read, and one thing to listen to. And then Jordan, you get the Katie Downs question. So Jonathan, let's start with you.
Okay. So a recommendation to watch. I'm a big fan of Denzel. So anything that Denzel has done is like, go for it. But Remember the Titans is one of the best ones. Mm. You know, big time. A recommendation to read. It's called Tuesday with Maury. Yeah. And I think that book would led me to teaching. It's a great book that is written by the student of who had this amazing teacher in university. So definitely is a go-to. And then listen to, I don't know if you're big fans of Rod Stewart, but he recorded an American songbook classic, and it's just fabulous. So you guys,
I know, right?
So that's a go-to. So Rod Stewart, American songbook, amazing.
Lisa, how about you?
All right. So I read a book I'm reading at the moment is Daring Greatly by Brené Brown. And it's definitely worth a read just to, you know, look at the way we view courage and what that means for ourselves and as teachers. And I found that super valuable. One thing that I would encourage anyone to watch is any World Cup. So this year it's been super exciting. We've had the Women's Soccer World Cup, we've had the Netball World Cup, we've had the Basketball World Cup.
Don't nobody outside of Oceania know what the hell netball is. So like, explain netball to the audience, because I have an Australian friend, so I know it's different.
Okay, so it's not just Oceania, it's Any Commonwealth country plays it. The US does have a team. It's just not as big as football or basketball. So netball is a super, it's similar to basketball in the respect of your aim of the game is to shoot the ball in a hoop. Apart from there's no backboard, there's more set positions, and there's no dribbling, all right? So there's it's a fast passing catching game with aim to shoot in a 10-foot hoop that's on a pole. So
it's
that's
like
a
ultimate
very
frisbee basketball.
Sure. But check it out, it's fun. And as I was saying, right now the Rugby World Cup is on and it is hot. Like Japan just beat Ireland, which is insane, and it's in Japan. So any World Cup, check it out. It's the best of the best where the minnows are getting better and better. And the upsets, like you've got 1 month of intense competition, people representing their countries, being passionate and involved. And my podcast or something to listen to, as I said, I've got two little ones, so my time's pretty limited. But what I do enjoy when the kids are not in the car and I'm in the car with my husband, he is a podcast fan. He listens to a bit of Bill Simmons, so
love the ringer.
Yeah,
the ringer.
So I enjoy listening to that, but there's a few expletives, so we have to be kids no car.
Jordan, how about you?
I think to read, I'll just say I'm reading, I'm a little late to the party, but I'm reading the Michelle Obama book right now. I'm almost to the end, Becoming, and that's a really good book. I've really enjoyed her story of kind of her growth and then how the situation was in the White House. To watch, I love a good Seahawks win. That's, I think, the most important. But I would say I'm watching Prison Break on Netflix right now. It's a great show.
I want to make fun of you. Hope and I are watching Homeland, so I'm like...
I like it similar, right?
No shade, no smoke.
Or Scandal, if you need a traditional one. Scandal's good, too. But anyway, and then what to listen to, I'm currently listening to the Character Strong podcast. So if you live in Tacoma... my good friend John Norland started kind of a company called Character Strong, and their podcast is out. They've done a couple episodes as well. So my dad's also affiliated with the athletic side of that, and it's a neat way to bring character into schools and help kids grow. So
because the show is rooted in Tacoma, you get the last question as well, Jordan.
Oh dear.
We call this the Katie Downs question, and it is something that everyone likes that you know is straight trash.
Oh my gosh. I feel like he would do a better job answering that question.
And by the way, do you know Katie Downs in Tacoma?
Yes, I love Katie Downs. They have great wine.
You're wrong.
Oh, wait. The wine bar on the water?
The pizza place with like
foil? Yes.
No me gusta. Anyway, so go ahead.
I love Katie Downs. That's good deep dish pizza.
That pizza's not good.
It is good. Put some ranch on anything and it's good.
Can you not, please?
Okay. So one thing that I'm doing or watching that's trash, but everyone knows it's good. Is that what it is?
The other way around.
It's good. It's trash. Oh my gosh, that's a hard one. I don't know. I love, like, this is totally going to be basic, but I love the Kardashians.
Wait, time out. Nobody loves the Kardashians and their trash.
Oh, okay.
You're fired. Jonathan, you want to try this one?
You know, I'm going to follow up on this one. I think every, what do they call those shows that are live in E! Entertainment?
Reality
show. Any reality show in E! Entertainment Television is trash, but everybody watches them. It's like,
yes,
we love those, right? Yeah, there you go.
Excellent answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to put it back into a sporting context is... People love to static stretch, but it is not good for it. It drives me insane. All right. So dynamic. Get rid of that static stuff.
You are the most PE teacher I've ever met. I am so here for that. I want to thank you all for coming on the show. If people want to follow you on the socials, where should they look?
Oh, we're everywhere, right?
Mine's at jmoog33. College number. Got to throw it in there.
Mine is Fazed Patterson.
DSJ78, Twitter, Instagram. Yep, we're there.
Actually, plug your food Instagram as well, because I really like it a lot.
Yes, absolutely. Is it Come Here and Try This? Is an Instagram page we created, and we've been posting every place we go, not only here in Abu Dhabi, but everywhere we travel. So yeah, Go ahead and follow us there.
Thank you for coming on the show, y'all. Wakanda forever, y'all.
Thank you.
See ya.
Channel 253 is sponsored by Alaska Airlines. I'm Nate Bowling and I fly Alaska. To book your next trip, go to alaskaair.com. This is our first Bowlings Abroad, we're calling it, episode of the show. And we're actually going to start off with a conversation between, why are you giving me that look?
This is Channel 253.